Blog Talk Radio.
Let's Talk Truth is designed to shine a light on that part of us that's hidden deep within us, and it stunts our growth. Truth is only truth if it lines up with the Word of God. Otherwise, it's merely our appearance, our appearance, our appearance.
If you really wanna talk, then let's talk truth. Hey. Any situation that you face can be talked through. No problem too big, there's no problem too small at all. Trying to maintain to keep from smashing through a wall. Heavy load up on your shoulders, trying hard not to fall. Situation after situation, throwing curveballs. Got you worried about your job, a word about your kids, a word about the things people said or what they did. Your husband ain't doing right, or maybe it's your wife, cause they let the devil step in and creep up in your life. Hey, L-O-I-C-E, come and help us out, please, cause we all in desperate need and need to learn to plant our seed. We gotta grow as a...
Good evening, everyone. Well, hi, everyone, on this Tuesday evening, October 1st. I am so happy that you all have joined us today. We're going to talk about something that I think, you know, will really benefit us if we really put ourselves in the position to think of it. And we're talking today about working just to pay bills. Now, before we run all off into this economic crisis and poverty level and everything, let's go through this show. Actually, think about the process, if we're actually working just to pay bills. And I want to welcome everyone here to the show today. If you are joining us today, we thank you for doing that. I want you to listen and feel free to give me your input. And you can do that by emailing me at letstalktruth333@yahoo.com. That's let's without the apostrophe. Let's talk truth 333@yahoo.com. And I thank you so much for any input you have on our shows, because we do use that input to help us better connect with you. We don't say serve you. We want to connect with you. We want to get deep down in you and figure out what makes you tick. What do we need to do to change the way we're ticking? You know, are we ticking the right way or ticking the wrong way? But it has a lot to do with whether or not our lives are being balanced out. Working just to pay bills. We're joined today by Mr. Motivator. He loves to motivate, so he's here today. Louise is here again with her awesome input. Shannon is on board today, and Shannon comes with the thunder. I mean, she doesn't hold back. She's very bold in her beliefs, and she speaks her mind, so we like that about her, because she always offers us something that we can actually, fight back with. So, and that helps us really get down to the truth of the matter. As I say at the top of every show, we're not here to preach to you. We're far from trying to preach to you, but if we're going to come to any conclusion where truth is concerned, we have to encompass the Word of God. You have to put the Word of God in every situation if you're going to arrive at the truth. A lot of times we might believe one thing, we discuss one thing, it looks right, but if it's not righteous, there is no God's truth in it. So that's what we always try to arrive at, God's truth. Today, have you heard the old adage, who came first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah.
Well, today we are asking the question, what came first, bills or work? I mean, do we work to pay bills, just to pay bills? So what came first? Did I get my job first, or did I acquire bills first? Did my bills move me into getting my job? So what came first, bills or work? Now, we're going to explore where the majority of families work just to pay bills. And why, if that's at all possible. And we also got to talk about what does it take in today's society where we can all live a comfortable lifestyle and still be impressive, because that seems to be the thing for today. We have to impress. We dress to impress. We live to impress. Everything, we're doing it to impress. And why do our bills outweigh our finances? Have y'all ever thought about that? Why is it?
Yes.
And it seems to me like that's getting worse. So that's one of the things we're going to address, even though we're not talking about, even though we have not added any new bills, mm-hmm. our checks haven't decreased, yet our bills are outweighing our finances. Mm-hmm. So we're going to discuss these things and how important it is. Is it more important for us to maintain our good name by paying our bills or putting food on the table? So these are things that we're going to be addressing. Mm-hmm. And I believe the question that I asked earlier, what came first, the bills or work, I believe Louise had a response. She wanted to bring in that respect.
I'd have to say the bills came first, simply for the fact that before you get a job, you're going to go out here and you're going to acquire some bills, such as you might have to get your hair done, you might have to get you a new suit of clothes, some shoes, and all that sort of stuff in order to get the job, because you just can't go out there and go in there like, you know, looking like what did it and why. So the bills are going to come first.
Okay. Do y'all agree with Louise when she said the bills come first?
Well, I agree, but then again, according to caveman statistics, the work came first, because the caveman went out and killed his food and got his prey, and he brought it in and put it under the fire and cooked it, and he didn't have to worry about any bills, and he just went out and picked out who he wanted to be his concubine, his wife, and he just hit on the head with a log and brought him to the house, and they were okay.
Now, Mr. Motivator, now I got to interject something right there. Now, that was not a caveman.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you used to do, right, back in the country down where you live. You went out and killed your food, and you brought it in, and well, you dressed it, and you ate it, so you didn't have any bills. Now, I want to kind of address.
Well, I have something to say.
Okay.
I think work came first. Mm-hmm. Reason being, from the time you're small, mm-hmm. you give your kids allowance.
Mm-hmm.
You teach them to save, because the world is built on money.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot acquire things that you want without money.
Mm-hmm.
So you work first. But when it comes down to bills, I think now it's hard to differentiate between what is a necessity and what is not. I know a lot of people say, you know, you can't afford the cable bill, let it go. But if I'm working all the time, mm-hmm. I should have something that I want to enjoy, something I like.
Mm-hmm.
So if I like to watch TV, I should be able to have that,
yeah.
because I work all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that now, even more so now than ever, it is hard, that line between working just to pay bills. The majority of America,
mm-hmm.
we're living from paycheck to paycheck.
Yes.
Reason being, with the economy, everything gets higher. I remember when I was a little girl, I could go buy a loaf of bread for 50 cents.
Mm-hmm.
But now, wheat bread is $1.50, $2.50, you know, $3.79,
mm-hmm.
things like that. Milk,
mm-hmm.
you can go get a gallon of milk for a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's $4.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so the economy lifts everything up. Then you got to have gas.
Mm-hmm.
So these are things that are all necessities.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Lloyd said something about determining whether or not you want to pay bills and put food on the table, that's why you have payment arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
Payment arrangements are so prevalent now that the companies have put in clauses and things of how much you can get a payment arrangement for, what you can and cannot do, because the majority of Americans need them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can put a payment arrangement on a bill, but you can't tell your kids you can't eat tonight because I don't get paid until next week. So we're going to wait and eat every other day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You
wow.
can't make an arrangement on feeding yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You need water and food to sustain yourself. Now, I'm not saying going out buying lamb chops and filet mignon and
mm-hmm.
things like that, but just the basic necessities. Most families I know nowadays live on Totino pizza, ramen noodles, eggs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your basics. You can do a lot of different things with them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically the work came first and the bills grew higher. That's what attributes people getting two jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, your kids starting to work early. They still in school, but they have a job at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
When I was coming up, I didn't have to work. I didn't have to get a job in school.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, oh, well, you know, I'm still going to work and I need to do this. Nowadays, kids have to.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because if they need something for school, mama's lunch is too tight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like pulling blood from a turnip. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, you can't go on that field trip with your school.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go get those new shoes. You can't get a new prom dress. You know, you just can't do it. So that's
mm-hmm.
why kids get a job nowadays.
Because mm-hmm.
they realize you have to work to get what you want.
Yes,
well, let me say something, and I want you guys to really listen to what I'm saying, because
mm-hmm.
we're talking about, am I working just to pay bills? Now, everything you guys have said is really true,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to throw that conjunction in there.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that it's the way we are geared
mm-hmm.
to run our household. Now, I will say this. I was a single parent.
Mm-hmm.
I raised a son and a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But I raised them with common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, we don't raise our kids with common sense. I see little kids
mm-hmm.
that they grow out of their shoes. What do you say the lifespan of a shoe for, say, a 3 or 4 year old? When do you think they have to change shoes?
Well, it depends on how fast they grow.
Okay, but they grow
6 months.
That's what I'm saying, in less than 6 months.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why a mother
mm-hmm.
would buy an expensive pair of tennis shoes,
mm-hmm.
slap them on a 3-year-old's foot,
mm-hmm.
and in less than 6 months, they're going to grow out of them.
Mm-hmm.
See, let me tell you something. We're going to go back to, I always say we have to go back to the Word of God. Who's going to build anything without counting out the cost?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's happening to our families in America. They're not counting out the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you count out the cost, and I brought my two children up, we weren't extravagant. Not one time did I take public assistance. Not one time did my children have food stamps. I never got food stamps. I never got any kind of assistance,
mm-hmm.
Medicare, Medicaid. But my children went to the doctors every time they were sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that is a way you can gear yourself to make sure that your money doesn't, your bills don't outweigh your money. And right now, we're not counting out the cost.
Mm-hmm.
We are allowing technology
mm-hmm.
to dictate what we buy in our homes.
That's true.
This is why when we get to the point where the government is telling me what I should eat
mm-hmm.
and what I shouldn't eat, and what we have to draw a line somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You have to draw the line, because counting out the cost, I knew that every Saturday when my children were growing up, I spent that Saturday getting their clothes ready for school the next week.
Mm-hmm.
You would think my kids' clothes went to the cleaners, but they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I washed them. I ironed them. I did everything. And I did that on Saturday. So they were ready for the next week.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to get up. I combed my daughter's hair every morning. Not one morning did she ever go to school that I did not comb her hair.
Mm-hmm.
They went to school. I went to work. I got off work, I picked them up, and we went home. You don't have people doing that anymore. We're too busy trying to get our kids, get them the latest gadget. You know, you can't settle for just a cell phone. I think at certain ages, you're too young for a cell phone anyway. But we are so determined. My five-year-old needs a cell phone. They're at school all day. What happened when we were at school all day? Who did we notify? Go ahead.
I agree with you. I think that I think sometimes we get carried away with trying to get the top quality. We gotta have the top name brand shoe instead of getting a quality shoe or a quality coat. And I think when I grew up, I think we grew up during an era where people were more sensitive to the needs of others. In other words, if my family bought something and we kept it we had extra, we gave it to our neighbors, our other relatives. I think we're in a time now where people have gotten selfish. And so, therefore, they only want to get for themselves and for their family. They don't care about anybody else. And according to the children's fund, the children's defense fund, it states that the rate of poverty is really affecting a lot of kids. There are a lot of kids that are denied treatment as far as getting help. A lot of kids miss out on proper nutrition. And there are a lot of things that children need. And because people are so selfish and they're caught up on themselves, hey, as long as I got something in my family, we couldn't care about anybody else.
That's true.
And I think our society and today have become more selfish in terms of looking at those who are less fortunate. I was reading this article today about this young man who had cancer. Okay, his family didn't have the money to get him the proper treatment of the cure that he needed. But the good part about it, there was an entertainer who this entertainer was very successful. He was a millionaire, and his name was Danny Thomas. And he started St. Jude's Hospital out of his own pocket to help kids that are less fortunate.
Right.
And this particular young man ended up beating cancer because they took him in at St. Jude's Children's Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 34 years old today. And you know what he said? I'm going back to help others like myself. I'm working with an organization to give back. And so that really inspired me, the fact that this young man thought about someone else less fortunate.
Exactly. Now, I'm quite familiar with St. Jude. In fact, I make a donation to St. Jude every month and mm-hmm. have for a long time because
yes.
I think that is one of the an area mm-hmm. that you can see giving and it makes a difference.
Yes.
Because no child is turned away.
Yes.
No child has
yes.
to pay.
Yes.
They take care of the parents to,
right.
To live there or to be with their children.
Mm-hmm.
So those are all good things.
Mm-hmm.
But when we get to the point where we're individualized in our own families, in our own, we are, what is poverty? We allow ourselves mm-hmm. to say, I'm below the poverty level. What is below the poverty level? And I tell people anytime, when you work,
mm-hmm.
if you have a full-time job
mm-hmm.
and you have to go get a part-time job,
mm-hmm.
something is out of sync.
Yeah.
It's something out of sync. You should never have to work
Then
if your part-time job isn't cutting it, you need to quit that full-time job and get you a new full-time job. That's the key.
Yes. Easier said than done, though, because the article that I read today, it was saying that a lot of people that, you know, have to get on public assistance, such as staff and that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people are disabled, they're elderly people,
mm-hmm.
and working class people. Now, you've got a new working class people now that they work full-time jobs, but they well below the poverty line because For one thing, their wages did not keep up with the cost of living. The cost of living have gone up, what, 300 or 400%?
Okay.
Whereas their cost of living only have gone up to 1.2%.
Okay, I understand that.
That's true, and everybody don't want to live in the project.
So I'm saying,
because if you mean tell me, like, when they had the whole boycott at McDonald's, you can't survive on $7.25. Okay, now, I know that's not funny, but that's the truth. $7.25 ain't gonna get you nowhere. It's not gonna get you a decent apartment. It's not gonna take care of no car. You have to have a car to get back and forth to work. Gas alone. Do you see how much gas has gone up? And we have a bunch of gas here in Texas.
Yeah.
Gas has gone up. You have to sell your child's soul to get some gas and put yours on retainer.
But let me ask you something now. Let me ask you just a quick question. Did you see the people that walked out in front of with the picket signs, can't survive for $7.25?
Oh, I just use it as an example. First of all, I don't think you work at McDonald's. You shouldn't be making $15 an hour because the service sucks and people don't take their job seriously. So I'll just use
I'm just saying, have you seen people, have you seen people that get out there and protest? I saw a lady on TV the other day, not too long ago, when the
Georgia food stamps cut off. With that $300 hair in her
head. She had hair in her head that's $300.
I have a full-time job, and I can't buy $300
hair.
And
she's sitting here talking about what I'm going to feed my kids.
Okay.
Yeah,
that $300
hair. Let me say something.
That's one person. Out of how many?
No, that's not one person. That's across the board. Do you know I can take you right now to Walmart doing food stamp day, and we're going to watch the shopping carts in there with the people who's working, and they have to pick and choose. This meat is too high. That meat is too high. But look at the ladies that's pushing those baskets. They got on $125 Nikes, and I got on some I got on some Walmart things.
Shoes. I agree.
Listen, let me say something. I believe if we're going to do more than work just to pay bills, we need to start with working on the thing that needs working on, the minds of the people.
Now, I can agree with that.
You have to get to the minds of the people.
Beats by Dre headphones. That's $250. First of all, why do you buy your 11-year-old child some Beats by Dre headphones? For them to be towed up, lost them in school. Ooh, I promise y'all,
I'm See, that's what I'm saying. Okay. At the top of the show, I said the first thing we need to do is what? Count out the cost.
You got one.
You got to count out the cost.
The labor statistics state that if you have a family of four, and you're only making
less than
$20,000 a year,
which
that's a poverty level because with the cost of living, it's very difficult to take care of four kids. And you're making under $20,000 a year.
And
that's what the U.S.
and you've
got Department of Labor says.
Now I'm not trying to be funny. I may be good because I'm not a parent, but I really don't have any sympathy for those people with all them different kids. Because you know what causes that. Do something about it.
But now
go to the doctor and get that shot. Get something to block all that. I don't believe in that women having all these 39 million children, and then you holler, oh, I ain't got no way to take care of them, then quit having them. That's why I never became a mother when I was young. Why? I knew what to do to prevent that. I'm not going to bring the child just where I can't provide for.
You know, you got people, again, you got folks that went from $50,000, $60,000 job all the way back down to less than minimum wage.
Right.
So now they got to adjust their standard of living to that point. So
exactly.
Now that's the new level of poverty.
But the thing of it is, it's okay to come out of that expensive condo and get you a modest 2 or 3 bedroom house. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But we are still trying to live. The reason we're working to pay bills, we're still trying to live. How the hog?
But I like what Shannon said, that if you do have to come down and downsize, do you want to take your family to the projects to raise your kid up.
They don't even have projects anymore.
But what I'm saying, yeah, they have low income.
Yeah,
they're all over the place. Yeah, they're all over the place. And on top of that, do you want to take your kid to an environment like that? Would you want somebody in your family, would you want your son to raise his daughter up in an environment where you got people with drugs and crime and all that? I think we, even though we have to cut back, we still got to look for the best that we can, the best environment, the best quality for our kids, because, see, the kids are the ones that are going to suffer.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we can survive being in a war zone better than the little two-year-old. They don't deserve to go through
but
all
let
this.
Let me ask just one question, and maybe y'all can school me on this. Like I said, I was a single parent.
Mm-hmm.
I had two children.
Okay.
I never lived in the projects.
Mm-hmm.
I drove 22 miles one way to work every day.
Walk?
I drove 22 miles one way to work every day.
Yeah.
So I had to drive 22 miles to work, 22 miles home,
mm-hmm.
cook for my children, get them to bed, and the day started over again every day.
Yeah.
I did that 5 days a week. Now, it's but by God's grace. I never experienced public assistance.
Mm-hmm.
I did not live in a project. I always lived in a area where my children could breathe.
Uh-huh.
But one thing that I taught my children, wherever we live,
mm-hmm.
you don't go outside when I'm not at home. You find kids. I was at the grocery store this evening. There was three little boys in the grocery store. They looked like they were about 10 to 13 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept going through the store, all hanging in the back. So finally the lady said, "Say, boys,
mm-hmm.
if you're buying something, bring it up to the front. If not, get out of my store."
Mm-hmm.
They were in there, and I know they were trying to figure out a way to steal.
Mm-hmm.
Numero uno, number one, they were on their way home from school.
Mm-hmm.
Why were they in that store? Number one.
Mm-hmm.
You know how I know the mother wasn't at work? Because one of the little boys saw her pass in the car and go home. She should have had her kid with her.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going through all of this just to set us up and say we're setting ourselves up
mm-hmm.
to... Oh, we're just poverty stricken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nobody wants to live poor, but you got to make up in your mind what you're gonna do about it.
Go ahead. Well,
yeah.
I would like to say first thing, you were mighty blessed.
Exactly.
You were blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I would also like to reiterate,
mm-hmm.
there's absolutely nothing wrong with living in the project. That's not what I want to come across
mm-hmm.
and saying. That's what I want anyone out there listening to think that we're saying nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're saying the level of standard that the majority of Americans want to live on mm-hmm. is not in the project.
Mm-hmm.
There are some decent people in the project.
Mm-hmm.
It's just gotten a bad rap because it has been looked at as having less security as far as police.
Mm-hmm.
Crime is allowed to go on,
mm-hmm.
things like that. So there's nothing wrong with living in the project, nothing at all.
Mm-hmm.
But third, I would like to say,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm going to do, the problem that we're having when it says working just to pay bills,
mm-hmm.
everything that we said is encompassed to one reason,
mm-hmm.
void of the church. Christ has not been introduced.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you why. Today I sat here, I sat at home, and the doorbell rang and some Jehovah's Witness.
Mm-hmm.
They're going around spreading the mighty word. They say, I don't really listen to them. But when was the last time the church has really reached out?
Come on now.
I'm not saying you can tell people in your church, this is what I'm offering. You know, we have a singles ministry.
Mm-hmm.
We have this. No, no, no. I'm talking about in order to get people to help or for those scenarios where the person is not living beyond their means, they're having a hard time. There has to be something the church can do in that community. Why are you in a community if you're not reaching out to help? And I'm so sick of people saying we have these organizations and things like that. A lot of people don't know unless they go to your church. Reach out, you know, put flyers on, send flyers out to people's homes. Like, does anybody know that you have a food pantry? If you don't have no food, you can go around to as many food pantries as you want to get as much. There's some people who have made that a career who don't. If people, but the problem is people have swindled the programs that are out there
mm-hmm.
and made it difficult for the people who really need it.
Mm-hmm.
You do understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And the church is void of reaching out. If you see Sister Sarah like that lady today who didn't pass and get her child, see, it couldn't be me. I instantly got a police officer. Hey, help me drive. He just said, ma'am, your son was in the store. This is what he was doing. See, the days of that is over because people are afraid because parents get upset. You better leave the Quay Beyond alone, baby. We're going to fight. You know, all of that because.
Well, I didn't go catch the lady, but I caught the three boys, and I brought them up to the camera. And I said, do you have something you need to pay for? Do you have money to pay for it? I said, because if you don't, I will pay for it. But you don't ever take anything. We're not going to take nothing, man. We're not. I said, don't give these people in here the impression that you will.
Exactly. And the thing is, we're so busy as a society worrying about what it looked like. Instead of saying, you know what? I'm a single parent. I got 80 kids. Help me. I really need some help. Mm-hmm. I can't discipline them all. I can't take care of them all. But our prioritization, we don't have it in line.
Exactly.
We're not looking at what's important. We're looking at the right now. We're not thinking about the future. And believe me, I'm saying that to myself, too, because had I listened to my mother when I was 14, I would not be in the state that I'm in now. Financially, mentally,
mm-hmm.
emotionally, had I listened, and we failed to pass knowledge along. We failed to grasp and say, look, okay, I know Sister Tawanda got a bad attitude. So if I have to tie Sister Tawanda up in this chair, you're going to listen to this because I need to help you. We don't reach out to anyone. The church doesn't reach out. It's better accepted from the church than it would be from some random person walking up on you. But we have elders in the church who won't do that
mm-hmm.
because you got people sitting around want to talk about Sister. Well, girl, you know Sister Marion got all them kids here and she gets all them food stamps. But you buy them from her.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So how are you going to, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to sit up and talk about her
exactly.
and not have you feed you? I'm a girl. I'm going to get them food stamps.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're not helping her.
Yeah.
You're not saying, you know what, Sister Marion, I understand you may have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You may be with your same baby daddy. But Sister Marion, quit having all these children.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's bad for you. You're making it hard on your children. You're changing their mind state. Pull them to the side. Educate them.
See,
because people only go with the way they know.
Mm-hmm.
If you teach me that talking with my hands and fighting is the way to go,
yeah.
I'm going to grow up that way. That's all I know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all these people know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're saying. That's why I said we have to, as a whole,
mm-hmm.
you got to count out the cost. Why am I in the position I'm in? Why am I called to do what I do?
Uh-huh.
You know,
you're right. And I like what Shannon said. And I agree with that 100%. We have a responsibility. And right now, if you was real hungry, you was out in the street. Tell me what church can you go to go get a full meal?
The church.
That'll feed. Now, I can't say Reverend E.V. Hill would feed a lot of people when he was alive at his church. He would go there and he'd feed people every day. And I admired him so much because, see, I think a lot of people like to toot their own horn.
Mm-hmm.
They like to, well, we have this organization and we do this.
Yeah.
And what I did and I. But you're edifying yourself. When we do our part, where I grew up at, nobody in our neighborhood went hungry because the neighbors, everyone shared. If our neighbor had a hog that he killed, he would come down
mm-hmm.
and share with my family. My grandfather would do the same with the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if all of us, as Shannon said, take it upon ourselves, let me do my part. Let me not be one of the people that's going and talking about what's going on and how bad it is and people doing this. Let me feed a family. Let me put some shoes on somebody's
because
feet.
As children of God, leaders of God, we put too much pressure on the government. The government don't owe us nothing.
Right.
We need to be out there about our Father's business, helping each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to be doing.
I agree. And if the have we done our part, have the churches and the people with organizations for helping people, have we done our part, we wouldn't have the government trying to step in the first place, because, you know, the word that we all talk about is being Christ-like, okay? And so if you're being Christ-like, you're not going to sit there, well, hey, you know, God is the answer. See, God has to work through an individual.
Through
see, some
an
of
individual.
Us want to use God as a scapegoat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God will provide God. You're not,
yes,
you not.
I'm
you don't
hungry.
Help
I don't need anything. You to tell
hey.
Me you're going to pray for me.
Yeah.
My stomach is growling.
And then on top
I
after,
some food.
Yeah. And after I pray for you, you got to talk to 15 different officers and get approval before they can.
And
they
that's
can
why
not even, man, people try to people heal things superficially. If I get, you know, shot, it's not enough to hold no bandage over the hole that I'm bleeding out of. Oh, the bleeding has stopped, but what's going on the inside?
Yeah,
exactly.
See, people haven't looked at that.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, what makes it so sad, we're living from check to check simply because we always do things superficially. We cover just the top. But
mm-hmm.
underneath is something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like saying, oh, I had a cut right here. It's healing, though, but your arm's so and swelling up.
Because
mm-hmm. something under there is not right.
Mm-hmm.
You got an infection. There's something going on.
You
know,
mm-hmm.
it's just too much. And I feel like when people see things going on, what makes it bad is because you have people who now have taken people's kindness for weakness.
Mm-hmm.
As a world, we've become skeptical of things because you
the
have
body of Christ is skeptical instead of depending
mm-hmm.
on God to show us what to do and the right. We don't see his face. We just, I'm don't give him that. Don't help them. They not going to do this.
Right.
And don't help them. They
right.
not going to do that.
Right.
And we do that as a body of Christ.
You're right,
just
because
like,
we're worried about fitting in with a certain group.
No, not so much fitting in. You have people who have missed the system. For example, like I said earlier, the food pantry. You have people who go to the food pantry who can go to the store and buy them something to eat.
Oh, yeah.
But why I'm going to spend my money if I can get it for free? That's just the mentality of Negroes.
Mm-hmm.
So people have become skeptical and saying, like, why would I help you when they ain't going to do nothing to get over on me? Because that's what the majority of the world
does. This has been happening. I can remember I knew a family when they used to have the, what did you call the welfare, the cheese and the can?
Oh, the commodity.
Commodity. It was a lady that drove a Mercedes Benz that used to drive and get that food,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was a terrible and awful thing for her to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like this that make us
leery.
Yeah, that make us so skeptical about things.
I agree with that to a degree, because you're right, people do abuse the system. But I look at the fact, my mother was a single parent mother, and when my dad wasn't around, she did what she had to do to take care of us.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother
mm-hmm.
didn't have a car. Yeah, she had to get some commodities. She got some government cheese, and she got what it was, whatever we needed. But guess what? We didn't miss a meal. My mother went out and got the help that we needed to feed us.
Mm-hmm.
And so had she been too ashamed, I don't need government assistance, well, we might have went hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And so my mother didn't abuse the system. She didn't. She wasn't out there selling no food stamps.
But my
father was around. But what I'm saying, there was mothers just like my cousin's mother. His dad left his mother when she was real young, too. She had six boys. My cousin, Glenn, graduated from college. I attended college. And, you know, I'm just thankful that my mother instilled in us to try to do something to better yourself.
Do
to work.
Something different.
Yeah, so there are good people out there that need assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to look at both sides
and
look at the fact that some folks have just abused the system. But what about the folks that really, the woman
that's
that has polio and
why
she got
you have
kids
to,
and she can't work?
That's why the elderly, I know elderly people who get $15 a month for food stamps, and they don't need that. And then you got a young chick out here who just keep having babies and can go to work, and she gets $1,000 of food stamps.
It couldn't be me. You have a baby after that first year, after that first baby, your benefits automatically
go up. Yeah, I say that because with a lot of people that need the help and don't get it, because like I read in the paper that the Congress are going to cut the SNAP program by $4 billion. Now, that's not only including all these young folks that you address having all these kids. What about people that's disabled, okay, that can't go out and work? People that's elderly, you know?
SNAP is like?
SNAP. It's a supplemental nutrition.
WIC.
WIC.
It's like food stamps.
Yeah.
So basically,
you
got all the programs to help.
But you can get like milk, egg, cheese.
WIC is what you get when you first have kids.
Yeah.
Milk, egg, cheese, juice, that sort of thing.
And this summer,
you get more.
I think last summer I remember at our church they had the feeding the nutrition program.
Mm-hmm.
We had kids that came out of the woodwork in there and we fed them every day because they were hungry. They didn't. Some of those kids were going without.
And then
being an educator, the hardest thing on me was just being there. Seeing a kid come in the room, one young man, he said, my parents, I don't know where they are. And he said, I'm the oldest, Mr. Jeffrey. And he said, I'm hungry, and I got my brothers and sisters at home. And I felt so sorry for this young man.
Okay, now,
because where
is the preachers in the neighborhood? Did any preachers, deacons?
No. At one particular school, I had pastors that came in.
And go home with these kids. Find out where their parents are.
No, and that's what I'm saying. I had some pastors that came to our school, you know, because we tried to get some of these kids help. And some of the pastors came in and wanted to pitch in, and some of them said that they were going to do something, and we're going to work with these kids because they're at home basically raising themselves up. But we never saw those particular pastors.
No, we're
going to have a weekly rap session just to encourage those kids. They didn't show up.
And they don't, listen, those kids don't need no rap session. They need to somebody.
Yeah.
Who's going to go in and sit down with their parents?
Yes.
Hold their hands. And, come here, brother. Let me hold your hand. Come
not
here,
even that. Cause
that's a concerned person.
And just because you're a parent, you're a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And how frustrating is it? And I can speak because I am a working class American.
Mm-hmm.
How frustrating is it? You put up with so much crap. At your job, you work 40-plus hours a week, sometimes 50, 60, whatever your thing is.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get your paycheck, it's gone before you get it.
Yeah,
it's already a lot. You can't even go and buy yourself a hamburger.
If you buy a candy bar,
I promise you that
will infringe on you paying your bills.
Exactly.
Something needs to be done when it gets
so
to that
point. When you go to work and you do that, it brings about a frustration. That's what most people argue, adults anyway, argue about finances.
Mm-hmm.
When you going to work every day and you mean to tell me you have nothing you can do for yourself, everything you earn has to be something to keep you alive.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's like that movie In Time. You just buy time. It just seems like as soon as you get your check, you burn up and you got to look forward to two more weeks. You feel a sense of relief.
Yeah.
Oh, it's payday tomorrow. But when that check hit, the reality hit, Lord, I got to pay this.
Yeah,
I take this one off to do that. I got to rob a piece of PayPal.
Uh-huh.
You can't do nothing. When you have children, when you have children, your kids looking up at you all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, wonder why they can't ever do anything.
Right.
Like, we go to medieval times?
Can
we go to Six Pack? It's a fair right now.
Your kids feel deprived.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Because I know a lot of people, parents especially, when they get their money and then they got to make a choice and this is another thing what people don't see. A lot of kids go home, they wake up every day hungry because for one thing, their parents, the money that they make, it just barely be enough just to cover the basic things such as they got to choose between paying the rent, the water, the utilities, that sort of thing. Now, when you have to make those kind of choices, guess what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to be put out of their apartment. So 9 times out of 10, the parents go, well, we can't eat this time. We got to pay the rent. We got to pay the water. So the food automatically gets cut off because who wants to go have to be out on the street?
You're right. And I think we're blessed. You know, if you've never gone to bed hungry or woke up hungry in the morning, I've seen kids come into the classroom that were hungry because they had no food. And sometimes those of us who have been blessed and we're fortunate, we've always had it, you know, food, and we've had the basic necessities. You can't understand somebody that goes to bed hungry. And there's one of the teachers that I work with, he said, Mr. Jeffrey, he said, you'll make me start crying right now. You start talking about that. He said, because I went to bed hungry every night. He said, because my parents were trying, but they just didn't have enough. And he said
like
it was a tough, traumatic thing.
Mm-hmm. When I was in school, it was a girl like that. And it didn't dawn on me because I was a young girl in elementary.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember I came up to my mom and said, every day she asked to eat my lunch. If I don't finish it, she wants to eat my lunch. Oh, my God, Mom. And I'm thinking, because my mother gave me $2 every day, half for lunch.
Yeah.
I said, like, okay, then how come your mama not giving you
$2?
Yeah. Until one day my mother sat down and told me, she said, you know, she said, sweetheart, she said, you are blessed that you get $2. What was, I can't even think of a little girl name. But she would eat my leftovers every day. Anything I didn't want to finish, she would, can I have it? And she would hoard it and eat it and eat it. The teachers even let her go in the lounge sometime when they had little snacks and stuff. She would get things to take home for her little brothers and sisters that were at home. And so I remember one day when my mama sat me down and explained to me, she said, sweetheart, you're only in the third grade. She said, but you're very astute. So let me explain something to you. She said, you know how mommy sometimes, you know, goes in there and whips up you a meal? She said, sometimes it's very hard for mommies and daddies to give their children meals. She said, so sometimes they have to go to sleep hungry. So don't get mad at the young lady. She said, what does it hurt for you if you're not going to eat it? Why wouldn't you give it to her? And I was like, you think she's really hungry? And she was like, yeah. So that next day, I bought her lunch. I gave her one of my dollars.
Wow.
My mama gave me two. I never did spend it. I was just keeping the rest and bringing it home, putting it in my little bank. So I was like, okay. So I'm going to give her a dollar. So when she asked for my leftovers, I told her, I said, you can't have her. And then I slid her dollar. And the other girl asked me, why'd you give her a dollar? I was like, my mama's teaching me to be nice. And so, you know, so, but I was a young girl, only in the third grade. But at that point in time, I knew there were people who didn't have it like me. And I thought I had it hard. There was plenty of times when I ate.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, living from paycheck to paycheck,
mm-hmm.
that was my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you how. I was young and didn't realize then, but as I got older,
mm-hmm.
I paid attention. My mother would come in, go in there, open the refrigerator, look around, close it, look in the cabinets, close them, go back, sit down, get up, go back in there, and then she'd piece something together. Me and my brother didn't know that it wasn't no real meal.
Mm-hmm.
Something she called Dutlow Joe. She just put a bunch of stuff and make a little stew.
Mm-hmm.
We were tanning it up with some bread or crackers, and I asked my mom, I said, Mommy, why aren't you eating? She would say, oh, baby, I had a huge lunch today at work. I am absolutely stuffed. But after we got our bath and got ready to go to bed, my mother was eating our leftovers. So I know what it's like to live from check to check. But I was blessed because my mother was not in church when I grew up, but she had, God had always looked out for her and always looked out for us. Was it difficult for her? I'm pretty sure. So look at the fact that this is all I got to feed my kids. But what I can say is her mindset, my mama wasn't out kicking it. She wasn't out, oh, I'm going to just buy the most extravagant things ever. My mother made sure that we had everything we needed. I didn't get excess things. Like, I wanted a new dress to go to a dance at school. I didn't get to do that. I needed to buy a dress for a play at school. But you know what my mama made? My outfit, she did, made it for me. Went and got the pattern, sat down and made it. God has always blessed me. But there are some people out there that don't know that they can be blessed. I don't know how to look for those blessings. So I was that child with a mother living from check to check. I am that adult who's grown living from check to check. But I know what it's like. But you have to know, if no one ever teaches a person, there's something better, or teaches a person, you know what, you're having it hard now, but if we all pull together.
Thank you. We got to pull together. Mm-hmm. But I thought about in school, there was a some kids, and this young man, he didn't smell too good. You know, this is when I was a young man in grade school. And back then, they didn't have assistants to help kids that was real poor. And the kids made fun of this young man. Said, ooh, so-and-so, he stinks. And, you know, something. And this teacher, I never forget, Miss Smith, she was a great, she got this young man, and she went to his house. She found out they didn't have electricity, they didn't have water. And she took that young man, she would feed him every day, and she would help him. And, you know, on down the road, you know, they came up with a program for a lot of the kids that was underprivileged to feed those kids, and that's when the kids started eating on the free lunch program. But, when I saw what happened to that young man, I wouldn't do like those other kids. I wouldn't laugh at him because, and wasn't it, he was smart just like everybody else, but he just didn't have it. And that teacher, Miss Smith, she changed my life because she showed me you can help others that are less fortunate. If you had a mindset and you don't go look down on somebody and think, oh, well, hey, these folks, their folks, they just ain't trying to do anything. And that particular young man ended up graduating from school and having a family and being a great provider. But just think, had Miss Smith not stopped us from laughing at him and helped him. So you're right. Sometimes people that have an experience that you got politicians out here that they make all this money, they grew up with money, they don't know what it's like when you can't take a bath and you got to go to school stinking, you don't have no food, you got to beg other kids for food. That's why I think what motivated me to become an educator, because I wanted to motivate some of those kids that were less fortunate than myself. And I took time with those kids, because even now, I will not overlook anybody that's around me. You will never catch me making fun of somebody, because they don't have a nice clothes or a nice car.
Mm-hmm.
But and it's sad that a lot of people, especially people that are Christians, look down on folks instead of helping them.
Right. You know, you all have all given us very, very powerful input tonight. And we have approximately 7 minutes. I'm going to use these 7 minutes to encourage anyone who's listening. You have to start somewhere. And it starts with teaching. And you have to, in order to give people, in order to teach sound doctrine, you have to first care about people.
Mm-hmm.
You have to love people.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So let's love our young people enough when they're coming out of high school. Let's encourage them, go to college, but go where you can get scholarships and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't come out with debt. And you don't even have a job yet.
Yeah.
And you come out of college. There's too many people coming out of college right now with student loans out the wazoo.
Yes.
You got to pay those loans back.
Yes.
And you know, the government is going to hound you for them and hound you for them. So you got all these loans. You got debt.
Yes.
And you don't even have
mm-hmm.
a job. You've never worked a job.
Yes.
And you're not
right.
going to get a job because you don't have experience. So let's try and educate our people, our young people, educate them to the fact that you can get an education. Stop trying to go to these big universities that you can't afford to go to that's not offering you scholarships, that's not offering you things to help you to go to school, but go and get your education the right way where you don't have all this debt. Because you sit up here, I know some people. How can you be in debt $100,000 and you've never worked? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have got to stop doing that. Another thing I want to encourage you, don't let anybody tell you you're poverty stricken. Mm-hmm. See, you don't have to be poverty unless you believe you're poverty.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We have to encourage people, I don't care what's in your bank account. I don't care what's in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
That does not state who you are, because what's working on the inside of you costs more than those shoes, that car, that everything.
Where you live.
Where you live.
Yeah.
It's what's working on the inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And all you need to do is make sure you don't tell yourself, Don't you ever act as if you're at the poverty level or below poverty level. Because you can look as rich as the richest man in the world and you don't have to have a dime in your pocket. Mm-hmm. It all depends on what you believe you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to keep that in mind. So don't ever let anybody tell you you're below the poverty level. Don't ever let anybody tell you that you have to keep up with technology. The only way I want you to keep up with technology is by the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Get the knowledge of it. Quit trying to change and live according to technology.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you do, you're going to get in debt, and you're going to get in a debt you're not able to pay for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you'll be working to pay bills.
And you're going to be working just to pay bills.
Mm-hmm.
Working just to pay bills. It all has to do with what we know about ourselves.
Yeah.
Don't worry about what other people say about you. Oh, they're this. They don't have this.
Mm-hmm.
You can call me poor.
Mm-hmm.
You can call me anything you want to call me. But one day you're going to call me blessed.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to encourage every one of you to be.
Amen.
Blessed. Be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Be blessed to the point where you feel like $1 million even if you don't have it. And I promise you one day what you believe and what you actually are is going to come together. I believe that with everything I've got.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank you all for your input. Keep your mind on the right thing. Keep it focused.
Mm-hmm.
Count out the cost. Whatever it is you're getting ready to do in life, make sure you know what it's going to cost you.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you don't have to worry about even friends. Even if you want to kick it, what is it going to cost you to kick it with that particular friend?
Uh-huh.
What is it going to cost you if I marry this particular person?
Uh-huh.
We are looking, even in marriage, in relationships now, we're trying to be connected with somebody who has already got something. I firmly believe that two people that don't have nothing can enjoy building something together.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You have to learn how to build together.
Yeah.
If he got the all the money you don't have, any one of you going to feel out of place one day.
Yeah.
If she got all the money and he doesn't have any, it's going to be out of place. But if you both start out on the level playing field, you can accomplish and climb as high as you want to go.
Yeah.
And you can do it together.
Mm-hmm.
Stop hogging everything for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This is my. I told you, I grew up like that. Everything, I was very selfish. I would buy you something, but I wouldn't give you mine.
Mm-hmm.
That is still selfish.
Yeah.
So we learning how not to be selfish, how to help each other,
mm-hmm.
how to help one another. Then we'll get past this working just to pay bills thing.
Yeah.
We can help people. That's all it is. It's all about helping
mm-hmm.
one another. Am I right?
Yeah.
That's right.
So I want to thank you. We've got about 1 minute or so left, approximately 2 minutes to go. But I want to encourage you, anybody that want to write in, send me an email, letstalktruth333@yahoo.com. Go onto my blog page, www.loisbullock.blogspot.com. Go on there. You can listen to this show even when it's over. You can listen to it. Go to my blog page, enjoy some of my little things that I write to encourage you. You can also look at it on Facebook, and it also shows on Twitter. So let's understand that we're here to talk truth. I want to thank Mr. Motivator for being here. He was in a pretty good positive mood tonight, encouraging, and thank him for that. Thank you, Louise, for coming. Shannon, as always, you bring such insight, you know, to the show. So we thank you for that. And I want to thank my staff for just being here doing everything in the green room so you guys could be comfortable. And I hope you all were comfortable. Am I right?
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
It was great.
Okay. So just keep in mind that we might be right now today working just to pay bills, but after this show, we got a new mind going. We won't do it anymore. Am I right?
Right.
That's right.
Okay. So with that said, We're going to say we'll see you here this time next Tuesday night on Let's Talk Truth. And this is Lois Bullock. And I'm going to say good night. And I'm loving you with the heart of God. Good night.
Mm-hmm. Peace.